What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of Beyond the Gym Floor. Double extended two-part episode this time around. So this is part one of our programming episode. So as you guys have probably seen, we're running our programming workshop on the Gold Coast on March 2 and 3. Tickets are available, link in bio, all of the things. Full day of strength programming, full day of physique programming. Hugely positive feedback from everyone that attended in Melbourne. We've made a few tweaks to make it even better. So make sure if you're in the Queensland region, get your tickets. Lock yourself in for that weekend. Also, Standout PT intake is open right now. So our signature 26-week personal training upskilling program is available. Just jump on the website for all the details on how that works. We have weekly workshops, weekly Q&As, heaps of theory, business documents, sales, systems, service, personal development, and then all of these hard skill things as well. Let us know what you think about this episode. Obviously, generally speaking, we're more on the business side, so it's fun for us to get in and talk hard skills of programming. If you enjoy it, we'd love to hear it, and we'll do more of it. Any questions on anything in the episode, of course, just shoot them through. Don't forget, like, share, subscribe. Subscribing makes a huge difference to the amount of people that receive this at the podcast, so that makes a really big difference for us. Okay, enjoy the episode. We'll see you next week for part two.
I have, too much clothes. So I don't want, I went through it and I was just like, because sometimes, I don't know about what happens in your house, but the clothes just circulate. So they go from the wash to the line, apparently.
So I've heard.
Yeah. And then they go back from there to the laundry. Mm. And then they have to get folded. Mm-hmm. And then when they get folded, they have to go upstairs.
Yeah.
So that process of folding to going back upstairs, by that time, I've already worn a bunch of other shit.
Yeah.
And that's gone in the wash.
Yeah.
And then that goes to the line, apparently. And then it goes back to the... So sometimes the mountain of clothes in the laundry just gets greater.
Yes.
But there's folded stuff next to it and never makes it back to the bedroom.
Yeah.
And then when the cleaner comes, because obviously I need to know there's no judgment.
Yes.
And the cleaner comes to my house.
Yes.
So then I put all my clothes away.
Yeah.
And then I went in there because I've been buying all this
clean
shit.
Clean up for the cleaner to come. Tam, can we have the timer, please?
Because I've been buying all this shit, I was like, put it all away. Damn. And I was like, ew. Gluttonous dog. It's like, you don't even go anywhere. How do you need this much clothes?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's it's stupid. Yeah.
I legit had the thought last week. I was like, fuck, I'm not buying new clothes just to wear on the podcast.
Yeah.
It was like, you and Jess had your new kicks and shit. And I was like,
yeah.
Yeah. I'm not doing it. Don't do it.
I mean, look, what did I say, Tam? Having things is fun, but buying things is funner.
More fun, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a new hat, though. I'm pretty happy with my hat.
I did notice that.
Yeah.
It's not brown like your other black one.
Yeah. Doesn't have a fucking bleached sweat.
Get him, Tam.
Doesn't have a sweat salt mark.
No, it's
just
middle. How old it is.
Yeah,
it was,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was time. And I didn't buy a replacement black one. I just bought, I guess this is black, but not black on black.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bought a brown one as well.
Much better two-tone situation.
Is that white or is that a purple gray?
It's got a little bit of purple in it.
It's kind of like a
little lilac.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where'd you get it from?
Caps.
Nice.
Mm. They dogged me.
In person?
They dogged me, they did. They walked in and they had the table at the front.
Oh, yeah.
One for 60, two for 50, you know
100,
what I mean?
200.
So I went up to the counter with four hats. It was going to be $110. And he was like, oh, it's just for the table. So you can get another one off the table. Bro, they're the same. It's brown or brown and green or green and brown. I don't want four of them. He's like, yeah, why don't you? It's only another $25. Why don't you get another one? I'm like, because it's the same hat, bro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then because I'd already picked this one up, I was like, I have to have it.
So you only got that one?
So I got this and a brown one. But I paid full price because I didn't buy.
Mm. Oh,
they weren't on the same table.
Yeah,
so I paid full price for all of the hats we bought. Yeah. Amy,
that's how they
get you.
Dogs. That's how they get you, mate.
Dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should know that.
Yeah.
Oh, you got me. I will pay full price.
You dog.
But lettuce is $6.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't look at lettuce. I don't look at the price of lettuce.
Yeah, I don't have a hat fund. I have a grocery fund. I don't have a hat fund.
Love it.
This is one of the rare times too, like we got cash for Christmas.
Yeah.
And that was my budget, was the cash.
Right.
And then it pushed it over the cash.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so you had to dip in.
Dip into my card money. Yeah. And golf money. Like, fuck.
Yeah. Dogs. Have you been playing? Did you play golf the other day, didn't you?
When did I play?
Last Friday. No, not last Friday.
No, I didn't in the end. Week before.
Friday before. Oh, yes,
I played with D, and then I played the week before that, I think, with Dad as well. We played Scramble.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I scored the same week after playing by myself as I did playing Scramble with Dad.
Yeah, well, you probably...
But I got better because I would have had 55.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I could have. I would have assumed that most of the shots that they would have, you would have been taking would have been...
Dad with a putter?
Yeah.
Quite good. Quite good.
I reckon the man's got potential as a
golfer. I think so too. Yeah. Yeah. Put a little
hand-eye
bit of work,
coordination.
Put a little work into the
swing.
Mobility, flexibility.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, the hand-eye is definitely there. We saw it at the...
I reckon some...
the axe throwing.
The right equipment though. Like, because he would have like a flex shaft, not extra stiff or whatever the hell it is that we've got.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The equipment would help too.
I've decided my... I only use my hybrid now. Off the tee box.
Oh, okay.
I don't even take a driver out of the bag anymore.
You like fucking Robbie Berger or whatever? Bob Dell Sports?
Yeah.
It's you.
Yeah. Yeah. He's that story that...
Yeah, you should watch it, bro. It's the best. He just like, he's so off the tee box.
Yeah, I've watched enough to know, and I'm the same. Yeah. But I hit my hybrid like 200.
What kills me about that, though, is they play golf like...
A lot.
They have a golf channel.
Yeah, it's his job.
Yeah, so it's like, are you purposely trying to stay shit?
Yeah.
To
be like, more reliable.
Yeah, or like, do you just not practice?
Yeah.
Like, how do you play golf? They do, like, sometimes they got 3 videos a week.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you've played a lot of golf. Like,
yeah.
How do you not, like, do you not get practice? Better. Yeah.
Yeah.
The swing doesn't change. Like, the only one that's good is FP. Like, he's just a beast.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I wonder how good that channel would have been, like, without him.
Yeah, I think you need him to be, like, someone that's
good. But they were,
good.
Like, really popular before it.
Yeah,
and then they just brought him in and it kind of skyrocketed. But I think you could only watch so much of just like two dudes like trying to be good.
Yeah, I don't really like it that much. Like the beer challenges and you know, it's a bit...
I love it.
It's a bit silly for me, I think. Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah.
And I'm all about it.
Yeah. I like watching them with the other people I like.
Yeah.
So when they play with Garrett, when they play with Rick, what's his name?
Micah.
Nah, the other English dude.
Peter.
Plays with Rick. Yeah, Peter Finch. Yeah, when they play together, I watch everything, but I don't watch them.
I watch so much. I've watched so much.
YouTube golf's the best.
Unhealthy. YouTube golf is huge now, too. Huge.
Yeah.
It's huge.
To see, this is like no one cares, but so YouTube golfer Grant is on the new TaylorMade ad.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. Him and Micah on it.
That's wild, man.
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah, but it just shows like where the world's going.
Yeah.
It's not just like, you know, professional sportsmen anymore.
Yeah. You seen the video of Micah outdriving Rory?
Yeah, I watched that. Yeah. Yeah. Dude's got some
very
speed.
Very impressive.
Yeah, it's just like it was very impressive, but like even he could see that he's like, you hit 350-yard bombs
every single time.
Every time.
Yeah. And they all hit the middle of the fairway.
Yeah. Rory's sick.
Yeah.
Such a nice guy.
I wish he would do more YouTube.
Yeah, yeah. He's such a nice guy.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah. I love it when people are that good at something and are just like awesome
still
people.
Good, yeah. I think Tommy is my favorite.
Yeah, he's Tommy a really nice dude too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dry English sense of humor. Mm. It's the best.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, like I think YouTube and social media like outlets like that, long form social media outlets are going to be taken over Netflix, everything.
Yeah, we talked about it on the Fit Pod, like not watching the news. Do you ever watch any television, like normal TV?
Watch YouTube. I watch an unhealthy amount of YouTube. I literally just get like, I'll eat, I'll turn the TV on, and you know, like someone will turn the TV on and watch something, I'll put YouTube on.
Yeah, I always go to YouTube first to see if there's anything out that I want to watch, and then I'll default to Netflix.
Yeah, free to air TV doesn't exist to me.
Same.
Yeah, like it's all just...
our internet went out on the weekend.
Yeah, I know.
Like for the whole area. I thought our box had overheated.
Yeah.
And then Dad's like, oh, I just got a message that like Telstra's down
yeah.
the whole Macedon Ranges area. We'll have it fixed Monday. This is Friday afternoon.
What? Who crashed into what?
I'm like, bro,
yeah.
that's unacceptable. My house runs on internet. Yeah. Like, there's no...
Need to call Elon and get a satellite over your house. Move the satellite.
Yeah, so thankfully, when we first moved there, I've got like a dongle. But still pretty shit, but I was like, I literally can't watch TV without the internet. We don't even have an aerial plug.
Yeah, no, we don't either. Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if you... surely there's like some super duper dongle thing that you can get like satellite internet.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It ended up okay. And they fixed it like Sunday morning.
Have you seen that movie where they... What's it called? Leave the World Behind or whatever?
Is that what it's called? Heard it.
Haven't seen it. I don't want to ruin it for everyone. So.
Yeah.
But it's like literally like how you could... turn a civilization on itself.
Mm. Oh, I have.
Yeah.
That's the one with, is it Sandra Bullock? No.
I can't remember who it is, but it's someone like that. I think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's someone like that.
Yeah. So I posted.
It's on Netflix.
I posted that is literally the worst movie on Netflix.
Yeah. It's like.
I hated it.
Think about the concept though.
Yeah. Like, so I went and read like the whole like breakdown and stuff, and I'm like, I get it, but it was just executed so poorly.
If you cut the internet,
and the world's over,
and then you cut the power,
yeah. So I was listening.
Everyone will start to kill each other because everyone starts hoarding shit.
Yeah.
I don't want to without trying to ruin it. The like towards the end, they were just like they were ready to kill each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like you don't even have to fire missiles or anything.
Yeah.
You just get someone to hack. The internet.
The power. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And turn the power off.
So I listened to Rogan and Gillis this week because I needed to turn my brain off because I'm at that stage. And they were talking about imagine just electricity stopped tomorrow.
Mate, fucked.
So you could still, you could still have cars and stuff, but electricity didn't work. I was like, I don't even think you'd need to stop electricity. You just need to stop the internet.
Yeah,
and it's wild that we've only really used it for 20 years.
Mm. And we're so reliant on it.
Yeah.
It was 2000. Or it was just before. Because like 1996, we kind of had dial-up modems.
Yeah, but it wasn't really anything, right?
You never used it for much outside of like trying to look at a picture that took half an hour to
correct.
Load up.
Yeah. Made weird sounds.
Yeah.
And now
no
it's
one
like-
could call your house.
If you turned it
on
off-
On a phone we don't use anymore.
Yeah, that don't exist.
Yeah.
And now if you turn it off, like I said, you wouldn't need to turn off electricity. You just turn off the internet. And
it does fucking suck when the power goes off.
Yeah.
It's like, get the candles out.
Yeah. Even food. Like.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, temperature control of food.
Yeah, we're fucked. Wow. Let's not think about that. Get stressed.
Do you think you'd survive?
Me?
Do you think...
If we cut the power tomorrow...
I think about this, right?
Mate, I've watched so many survival movies.
My mantra for the last however long was like, don't be average.
Yeah.
Do you think you still
have that afterwards?
For lack of a better term, successful. Would you still target or end or be in like the 3%?
What if the world ended?
If the world ended tomorrow.
Oh, look, I played The Division and it's like an end of world kind of game.
Mm-hmm.
I got a lot of practice. Yeah. I pumped 1,000 hours into that game.
Yeah.
So I reckon I could just take some of the... All you need is a weapon.
Yeah.
And then you have superiority over most of the people who don't have weapons.
Yeah.
And then you just need a weapon that doesn't actually require a copious, infinite amount of ammunition that you can reuse. So like a bow or something.
Yeah.
And you can make arrows.
Yeah.
You'll fuck everyone up. Ben's, and you need a sword.
Ben's got his axe on.
You need a blade.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll put a lot of thought into this. Don't worry. I do it all the time. I'm like, what would I do first?
What about socially, though? Like, can you rise as, like...
I wouldn't be, like, a rebel leader or something. You'd like John Connor or something.
You're a leader in your space now.
Yeah.
In our own community.
I would just take the people that I love and keep them dearly to me, and then we would just live harmoniously.
Yeah.
More mouths to feed, you know, food supply is low.
Yeah.
I'm one of those dudes.
What about safety numbers?
Yeah, just a certain amount, though. I'm one of those dudes. I'm like, fuck, another mouth to feed? Like, fuck, you know?
Yeah.
I'm a hungry dude.
Yeah, I just wonder if like the who wins, right?
Do we have to stay somewhere or are we going somewhere? Like, do we have to get to salvation? Like,
no, just, the ship just turned off.
Oh, so we don't. There's nowhere that's like a special place that has everything that we need, because that's usually every movie,
there's
right?
There's no like virus or anything.
Yeah, yeah. Because you know, is it like World War Z? You know, where they're like going to a place.
Yeah.
So they had to like fucking get from one place to another. Yeah. Because if that's the case, I'm taking fucking no.
You're on.
It's like you're all just gonna hold me back. Yeah. Like I'm taking my wife and my dogs.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm.
I've already got like everything set. I've got the German Shepherd. Like, yeah. I'm ready for an end of world kind of thing. I've got two.
Ready.
Yeah, ready. One's a bit old, but yeah.
German Shepherd's a waste.
She'll just strap me on my back. She'll just strap her on my back.
Yeah.
Be one of those dudes. And you just need an M4.
No end of world movie ends well for the German Shepherd, though.
Okay. That's just one movie, bro. I'll change the narrative. That one just wasn't quick enough. Map's way better than that one.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
Don't you bring that energy.
How dare you? How fucking dare you? I'm ready to walk out of the studio.
Do you even know who my dog is?
Yeah, that's right. Fucking offended.
Yeah, I'd just be curious to see.
I don't think, look,
what type of person is successful in that
resourceful
society.
People.
Yeah.
And you're an outsourcer.
Mm.
So maybe you have some hidden talents that you haven't gotten the chance to use yet.
Yeah.
And you may survive.
Yeah. I can do stuff, I just don't like it.
Yeah, no, but that's what I mean. It's like, but so just because you don't like it, so people like it and they're good at it.
Yeah.
So you also are not good at it and you don't like it. It's
so
not a good start.
I feel like a tradesperson with social skills wins in that world.
Nah. It'd be like some ex-military person. They win hands down. Because they have like the psychological warfare like skills as well as like the tactical training. It. Yeah, like my mate's dad like spent like 6 months in the middle of nowhere and wasn't able to like ring his family and shit and grew like a beard to like to fit in with the locals.
Yeah.
That dude's fucking winning.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah, but so... like, so I don't mean like...
He's winning
conquers
on...
Earth.
Yeah, but like... He's
just like... what is... So right now, you would say like we have...
Define winning.
Upper middle class, right? Yeah, like what is the
he's
upper...
He's the last man standing is what I'm trying to say.
I'm on the same wavelength.
The upper middle class right now is like white collar jobs. It's executives, it's finance pros, it's whatever. Yeah, yeah. I think that flips on its head.
Oh, yeah.
Not, yeah, I, yes.
Yeah,
like I agree.
Exceptionally well-trained individuals.
The people who are trained for actual scenarios like that will do the best, yes.
Yeah, like, where I can't speak to you for 3 months, I'll speak to you when I can.
Yeah,
and then fuck, just like wild. Go on radio silent and shit. Those people are going to fuck
terrifying.
Up everyone.
Terrifying. It's wild that they still exist and we live in this like fucking cotton wool bubble.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, sometimes I watch movies and I'm like, you reckon this happens? Surely, like, there's...
It has to come
some
from
of it. Yeah, correct. You have to get inspiration from somewhere, right?
Yeah.
It's obviously not as dramatic.
Yeah.
But there'd be people, like, doing fucking reconnaissance and shit, like, living and...
Yeah.
If there's enough... Having to stay in the one spot for fucking ages.
If there's enough repeat stories about it...
Yeah.
There's got to be a hairline of truth somewhere.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree. I want it to be true.
Yeah.
Because it's fucking cool.
Terrifying.
Yeah. Should we talk about something?
Programming today. Yeah. I don't want to.
How long was that? That's all right. It wasn't long.
Nah, it's all right.
Yeah.
I don't want to freak myself out.
Ben's like, who do you think would be successful? Jace's like, I got these 5 weapons and 2 dogs.
Yeah. Me. Yeah. The personal trainer.
Yeah, I'm prepared.
Quick break in the episode, guys. I just want to ask you one question. Are you running a business or are you working a job? Running a business means thinking like a business owner, having systems that do all the grindy work for you, a service that's guaranteed to get your clients results, social media and referrals that are driving business to you, and getting leads that you always close. If instead you feel like you're lost, you're stuck, you're at the mercy of your clients, you're just working another job. If that's you, you need to check out Standout PT. It's our signature education program, a 26-week online course designed to take you from working a job to actually running a business. The average coach that goes through Standout PT and completes all the modules gets a 300% increase in revenue inside their business. We have weekly workshops, weekly Q&As, and over 30 units for you to go through, all with text and video to make sure you're totally covered for everything you need in your business. Just head to stcfit.com, navigate to the Standout PT page, and book yourself a free, no obligation discovery call and see if Standout PT is right for you. Back to the show.
Programming.
So why are we talking about programming?
Because you know the dates. March 2nd and 3rd.
March 2nd and
not
3rd.
Not the 1st and 2nd.
March 2nd and 3rd. Oh, I know the dates because I fucked them up for the ad reads. And then I had to redo them. March 2nd and 3rd on the Gold Coast.
I laughed so much when I saw that because it was just a me move.
It's an STC move now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You held the torch well. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Seamless. I just wanted it to feel natural.
Yeah. Yeah. Link in bio. Tickets are on sale. Get them.
That's right.
Zero weakness. The gym will be at.
So you're trying to give out some like motivational speech.
There's a little quote there for you as well. Don't be weak, buy a ticket.
Fucking hell. We're going to be sitting in a room with nobody now after that.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Second time we're delivering it.
Yeah.
In person.
Yeah.
I'm pumped.
I learned a lot after the last
one. Are you changing yours?
Just the exercise selection part.
Yeah, I'm going to change mine. Yeah. Not a lot. I've just I'm adding things.
I want to make my exercise selection more applicable from seeing something on the gym floor to changing a program.
Yeah.
Less. Because the last time we did it was more like you don't know this person and you're writing their first program.
Yeah.
I want to weave in when you see stuff, how do you change
it? This than that.
Yeah.
Type thing.
Yeah. Because I think a lot of trainers like don't know. We talk about it all the time, like they see something, but they know it's wrong and they don't know how to fix it.
Yeah.
So I think having a big part of strength programming is being able to fix a problem.
Yeah. I agree. Yep. I'm adding in just like a deeper understanding of the strength curve resistance profile distinguishment. Yeah. Just so they get an idea, like, because I feel like they didn't have a good understanding after that. They thought they were the same.
Yeah.
And they're not. And even the way I'd explained it is probably not definitive that there was two different things acting at the same time.
Yep.
Because you have a resistance profile of an exercise.
Yeah.
But then there's a strength curve that, you know, the muscles are influenced by.
Yep.
Those two things overlap.
Yep.
And you will get where the peak difficulty is in relation to the muscles being used at the time and the shape that they're in.
Yeah.
When that happens. So.
So bring your lab coats.
Bring them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd love to layer on more stuff, but it's just not enough time.
We'd have to do 2 days each.
Yeah. The goal is more what than why.
Yeah.
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 What and how? Why is, you can only go so far.
Yeah.
You know, because it's so deep once you start talking about a human body. Why starts to become quite extensive. So I'm really leaning into the what and the how.
Yeah.
And that's what we do across the board with our business, to be honest.
Yeah.
So if you just learn what and how, a little bit of why, you can learn the more why in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As you go.
Yeah. Because what do most people do? They need to extensively learn the why.
Before they do anything.
But there's no what and how happening.
Yeah.
And it's like, could you have not just done it?
Yeah. And that's what a lot of the experiences we've had at workshops and stuff have been that.
Yeah.
It's like, why? And it's like, cool, how do we apply it? It depends.
Yeah.
Cool, thanks.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm not going to change it too much because don't have the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was pretty good last time.
Yeah. Feedback was amazing. So.
Ready to smash it again.
Yeah.
You're doing we're not going to get lit on the second night. No. So that we're both fresh.
Well, I can.
No, well, that's what I mean. It's not fair. I always deliver second, you know? Always have to think about the next day. Jason. Save the best for last, right?
Well, no, I had to do the intensive morning.
Yeah.
In the end.
I forgot that.
We thought it was you for a minute.
Yeah.
Stop drinking, Ben. Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we promise we're done with that.
Absolutely.
After Sydney.
Absolutely.
Because it's rough.
Yeah, no.
No drinking on tour.
Nah. Your boy's not drinking no more.
House looks good.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be small.
I'm sorry.
But it looks good.
The couch is small.
Yeah. Yeah, the children can sit on the ground.
It's giving me Penrith vibes.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. It's going to be like, very small.
I'm going to lie on this couch and take up the whole couch.
Yeah.
Like it's in the width of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all right. I'll just lie on the floor like I always do.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the programming. Get there.
So we're doing a double episode for your
part one
followers
and two.
We were going to separate into physique and strength, but there's so much overlap, so we're just going to both answer the questions through our own lenses.
Yeah.
Based on the particular topic.
I love it.
Where do you start when you're assessing a client? New client, got to write a program for them. What are the things you look at?
Oof. Am I seeing this person?
Well, usually you wouldn't because you're an online coach.
Mm.
But I know for me, like, I'm like, send me a couple of lifts.
Yeah.
Stalk their Instagram.
Yeah, I guess that is very true. So, firstly, you need to assess the training age of the individual, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
How long have they been working out for?
Yeah.
Because I think that influences movements you pick and what your long-term vision for that person could be.
Yeah.
Newer lifters, you know, probably... it's quite valuable for a newer lifter to maybe do a little more compound lifts and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, things like that.
I think I look at competency more than time.
Yeah. I think that's a great way of kind of assessing competency to a degree and then looking at their background on top of that.
Yeah.
So it's like, how long have you lifted for? And then what else have you done?
Yeah.
You know, cause like we've spoken about before, it's like, athletic people with an athletic background, even if they've only had a year training, could be better at lifting
Agreed.
Than people with no background at all. So
yeah, if I can get onto your Instagram page and see you lifting some weights, that
absolutely
is more to me than I've been going to the gym for 5 years and
Agreed.
Body pump.
Like. Yeah, so the two questions in my questionnaire overlap like that. That'll be like, how long have you trained for? And then it's like, describe your overall proficiency in the gym. And it has like questions like, I know most movements and are confident. I know blah, blah, blah. Or I'm extremely confident and know all movements in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, then I would look at their goals. Yeah. So goals and that are kind of whatever. There's no distinct order because you're making a decision after that.
Mm-hmm.
Because then they're like, if the goal is to grow and grow a certain way,
yeah,
then the lens changes. There's a layer on the lens, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I would look at that, and then I would look at their physique,
mm-hmm.
and then I would make an assumption of how we would approach that training.
Yep.
So yeah, that's kind of the first places I would start.
Yeah.
What was the question again?
How would you start to assess a client for a program?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Training age, expertise. Or proficiency.
Mm. Goals.
Goals. For me, how they look and how they want to look.
Yeah. I would only add, like, goals is part of it, but, like, commitment level as well.
Mm.
Like, how long are you willing to train? Are you willing to do anything to get the outcome?
Absolutely.
Is it a sporting-based pursuit, or is it just, like, a lifestyle thing? Or is it you have to go?
Yeah.
Even thinking from the lens of, like, a personal trainer in the gym. They're going to be your three things. Like, someone comes to you because they have to go and they don't want to. Someone comes because they kind of like it, but it's not a huge priority. And then someone is like, this is their sport. That's what they care about. So, yeah, just identifying where in that column they sit. Because then it's inside that spectrum that's going to determine, is your program designed for you to enjoy it more than anything else? Or is it designed for you to get the result more than anything else?
Yeah.
And I don't care as much what you like.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that for sure. And then you would obviously just see how they move.
Yeah, so the even how they look is more influential than I think most people would perceive, at least for myself.
Yeah.
Maybe a lot of other strength coaches are all movement based. And you can learn a lot from how someone looks, how they train.
Yeah.
Yeah, like super quad dominant. It's like, okay, you're going to squat a certain way. You're going to...
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Be good at this, be shit at that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even just like limb lengths and structures and
size
of their rib cage and joints and all that kind of stuff. Like, you're going to be amazing at this or shit at that or whatever. You get a lot of information.
Yeah.
Because it's usually easier to just see them than it is to get a bunch of lifting videos.
Yeah. I agree.
So, and then even in like... If I was a face-to-face coach, I'd be like just assessing the person that's in front of me the second they walked in anyway.
Mm.
How they walk, how they carry themselves. Yeah. Limb lengths, all that shit.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I agree.
What factors do you look at deciding on a pathway for a program type? So, program types, obviously, like physique, strength, something else.
Yeah. Well, most of my clients are. So I guess what, like, breaking it down into like sub fractions, like, are you talking like what makes me move someone to heavier lifts than not heavier lifts?
Yeah. So maybe like what pathways do you have? So for me, I have three.
Yeah.
So I'll either program physique focused outcome, strength focused outcome, or athletic focused outcome, which is like strength, physique, and fitness.
Yeah. Okay.
But you might have different ones.
I have a lot more.
Yeah.
So first one would be like understanding movement pattern bases that make up like most of the muscle groups in training. So it's like all the major horizontal pulls, pushes, vertical pull pushes, hinges, and squatting. So that would be like for a real
like fundamental.
Yeah, it's like big, you know, introduction. The next one from there would be like more tension based training. Yeah. So then it's like learning those, taking those fundamental movements and then learning how to centralize tension in the target muscles.
Yeah.
So that's when we lean heavily on tempo. So yeah, that's where tempo is a great way of you know, using it for a purpose.
Yeah.
From there, I would use that to then build work capacity. So that's where we go into more volume based training. So that's where I'll take like a density approach. So you literally like superset most things and you're doubling the amount of work capacity for that person. And then from there, I would use a strength. I would then move them into strength to take all of those things and, you know, lift, learn to lift as much load as possible, centralizing focus and target muscle, being able to execute things in those movement patterns. After that, if the person was literally like from scratch, I would just go, what do we need to do next?
Yeah. So the pathway pretty much in my head, like that pathway is physique.
Yeah.
And then it's how far they start down the path is dependent on where they are.
Yeah. So then there might be some people that have got a really good base.
Yeah.
And then they'll just go, I'll be like, okay. Sometimes it depends on what they've done previously with training. So if I've got a power lifter, so I get a lot of power lifters who want to move into bodybuilding. Well, not a lot, but I've got a fair few. So they're already strong. Yeah. So I'm like, well, you don't need to do, you know, a strength-based program. So we just want to keep the, you know, the adaptations of strength in the program and then do the rest of the stuff more, I guess, quote-unquote, like hypertrophy-based. But even then, like, I still have a very similar philosophy of, like, lifting heavy for most major movements. Like, there's always a loadable movement in the training, no matter what.
Yeah.
And then we move into something to access, you know, certain muscle lengths and then, you know, there's always most of the time some form of output component.
Yeah.
So I think for some people, like if I just, they get to a point where I feel like they're tapping out in terms of like volume and they're not getting any stronger, we'll go back to intensity.
Yeah.
Build some strength to just move back into like more voluminous training with heavier loads. And then if I feel like someone is losing the work capacity and isn't getting the physique gains that they want anymore, then we'll go the other way. Like if they're just lifting heavier loads, like, cool, let's build some work capacity again.
Yeah.
Increase the rep ranges a little bit, you know, play around with the training volume if we need to.
Yep.
And that's kind of how I ebb and flow with most of them. But then in a lot of cases, I try and keep people in that happy medium where there's, where it's like, there's always a loadable movement. There's always a movement that we're accessing, like, you know, specific portions of the muscle length, and then there's always an output component at the end.
Yeah. Yeah, so that would describe, like I said, my physique pathway is pretty much the same as that. And then, like, obviously strength, we're doing, again, it's just different. There's different phases within that strength pathway, whether it's, building more muscle mass, recomp, like body composition, while still improving the primary lifts, and then specificity comes up, intensity comes up, volume comes down.
Yeah.
That kind of cycle.
Agreed.
I think with those two things, because like we have our physique programming model, how we distribute volume, looking at through muscle-centric concepts, looking at volume distribution by muscle group, then going into strength, it's more by movement pattern, then going into like the, that I've been playing with more the last 18 months, as well as the athletic development side, where it's like managing cardio, impact, throw, run, jump, fatigue with some strength stuff, some body composition stuff, and molding all that together. So I think it's just like a different lens, a different avatar that I'm sitting down and looking at and going like, this is how I wrote a program for these, this is how I write a program for these, this is how I write a program for this. So yeah, that's interesting. And it, like the way you sort of explained it too is we have the STC training paradigm.
Yeah.
So at the top of that, you basically have like everyone trains quote unquote a strength program.
Yeah.
To start. Particularly if like we would go back in the gym and you have a gym pop client come in, it's like this is what you need to do first.
Yeah.
And a lot of what we do in the workshop is unpacking the different adaptations that happen at different rep ranges, intensities, RIRs, etc. Which I think...
Do you reckon those adaptations happen the same way for a new lifter? I was curious to drop that question. Even I've been thinking about that too. So it's like, let's say, what was it like? Between 65 and 85% is where most of the adaptations are going to happen.
Yeah, so let's say what they are. So basically you've got like internal muscle contractile force.
Yeah.
So being able to produce lots of force in the muscle. Yeah. Then you've got intermuscular coordination, which is basically just like being able to do the thing as a system.
Yeah, sequentially.
Intramuscular is being able to produce that force.
Yeah.
Then you've got size of the muscle, hypertrophy. Then you've got some disinhibition stuff.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. So it's like muscles turning off when the primary muscle gets stronger.
Yeah.
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 So question is, does that adaptation behave the same way for a beginner lifter? I think it does. I just don't think, because the highest limiting factor is intermuscular coordination, nothing else is really trainable because you shit at it.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, I feel you. Yeah,
like you can't really train. There's adaptations of all across the spectrum of everything. It's not like if I do 15 reps, I create no improvement
you don't
in strength.
You don't get any intermuscular coordination because there's too many reps.
It's correct. Like
maybe potentially for the first eight, you would get more
quality,
which would reinforce that.
So it's still there. You're still getting some. Yeah. The scale we use, I think, is it's out of four. So you might be getting like 2 out of 4 instead of 4 out of 4.
Yeah,
like
and it's
still there.
It's probably like at what cost?
Correct.
To something else, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
So then it's like, well, cool. If I'm training skill-focused intensity levels, which is kind of no more than 75%, which when you think about a Gen Pop client, probably not training them more than 75% in the 1RM because they can't.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm so bad with my percentages now. Is it like 8, 75? 75 is like 8?
Roughly. Yeah.
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 That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Yeah, so training someone a heavy 5.
Even if you just logically think about the time of a set, it's like 6 to 8 reps is like concentration after that with effort.
Mm-hmm.
See you later.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it makes sense that, and one of the big things we do and we want to do and even thinking about now is take home from the pods, like knowing why classic programs work.
Yeah.
So why does the 5x5 work? Because it puts you in a great intensity level to tap into intra.
The ability to produce force.
Yeah.
Inside the muscle.
Taps into that really well.
Yeah.
Because you're starting to get in that 85% plus range.
Correct.
You can repeat it. It's compound movements. Mm. It all ties into somebody getting stronger.
Yeah.
It's probably actually not amazing because it takes fucking 35 minutes to do 5x5 if you're doing it properly for hypertrophy. Because 5 sets in 35 minutes, probably an inefficient way for most people to build muscle.
Yeah. Especially when you've got probably 3 or 4 other exercises to do.
Exactly. So
maybe more.
What's the quality going to be like at the end of that session versus if you did 3x8 at the start of the session?
Would it
hack squat instead of a barbell squat?
Yeah. Would it ever be worth doing like 3 or 2x5?
I do in my programming. It's interesting. I think Jess got some questions. She's got, I think her accessory day on deadlifts is like 2x5.
Yeah.
I think it's accessories that's paused.
Yeah.
I'm like, why do you only have 2 sets? It's like she doesn't. She has 2 working sets.
Yeah, so you got to...
But she probably does 4 in the build up.
Yeah.
And it's a skill-based accessory, putting you in a pause position so you feel the position so you know where you are. So then when you do the heavy lift, you're in the right position, you can move from that and you know where it is and it's drilled.
Yeah.
So she did 5 sets, but she only got 2 really that are generating much fatigue.
Yeah.
And then she's got heaps of shit to do left in the in the session. So it's like, definitely is a short answer.
Yeah.
There is benefit to that.
Yeah. Because I was watching some videos Lyle McDonald put out, and he's like training. He trains like this power lifter, mm-hmm. and he was like, "We just do even." And he said it works really well for like natural people. He was saying that like low volume, high intensity work at the start of the session, then he just picks an accessory that's less fatiguing that gets the volume work in.
Yeah,
and then he'll actually lean on like hypertrophy work for the weaknesses.
Yeah,
so it's like higher rep stuff. And I was like, that's fucking exactly what we do.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's our program.
Yeah. It was just a really easy way to explain it.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, this is too hard. And if you have shit leverages or if you're too strong, that's going to fuck you up.
Yeah.
So do less of it. But then we're going to pick something else that kind of is similar, where you can get more volume in.
Yeah.
And then we're going to pick movements that are going to just tax the muscles that are weak.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's such an easy way.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
So yeah, the paradigm is at the top, you've got that fundamentals. So yeah, like that
strength,
doing eights. Yeah. Eight, it's like, how well does 8 to 10 work for Gen Pop clients? It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Then once you've got that foundation of strength, so we have a baseline, it's about 100% body weight squat and deadlift.
Yeah.
50 to 75% for bench press for females.
For one rep, right?
For one. And you can just use projected and you don't have to test them.
Yeah. Even bodybuilding wise, like, you're never going to need it.
Yeah.
You're never going to need, like, I get that it's fun and people are curious.
Yeah.
But you never need to.
Agreed.
You know, I would actually argue that your 5 RM is more of an accurate determination of strength from a bodybuilding perspective.
Yeah.
Because you
types of strength too, right?
Yeah. And you're never really needing to lean into like putting everything together for one rep.
Yeah.
Like, we're never peaking a bodybuilder to do that. Like, sure, they want to find out every now and then.
Yeah.
But I'm never saying, like, let's do a 4-week block before you dry.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, don't fuck yourself up. Please.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, projected is fine. Males, we usually go 1.5 for the squat and the deadlift.
Yeah.
It's 0.75 to 1 body weight for
bench press.
Bench. And that's like a baseline of strength. And
I reckon even 1 to 1.25 bench, don't you think?
No, it is 1. You're right.
Yeah. I think 0.7 to 1 is for females.
For stage 2, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because like, I'm just using myself as an example. Like,
body weight's
knock out of fucking 90 kilo bench for 12, 15 reps.
Yeah, you're pretty strong though.
Thank you. Don't think I'm anything. So I think I'm weak and fat.
Yeah, so here's how I kind of interpret that is, I think the majority of people could squat their own body weight.
Agreed.
If they had the skill.
Absolutely.
So it's not actually a strength feat to be able to squat your own body weight.
Yeah,
it's a skill feat. So if you can get skilled enough to do that, then you're skilled enough to do other stuff in the gym.
Absolutely.
So we build that foundation first. Then
we can't throw the fucking kitchen sink at someone if they're standing on straws.
Yeah, I think it's... You know? I agree. I think the distinction is important when we talk about this paradigm. Like, it's like a prerequisite to be able to do the rest of the training. So the reason we have a Gen Pop person who comes to us who doesn't know how to train does a strength program. And when I say strength, it's like 5 to 8 kind of rep range. Maybe up to 10 for the isolation exercises. Our primary goal is to build a foundation of strength, even if they come to you for body composition, even if they come to you for athletic performance, even if they come to you for fat loss, even if they come to you for whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
If they can't hit those numbers, they're not skilled enough to do anything else more fancy than it.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And but like on top of that, like their resilience is low.
Agreed.
So then any, like, even if you go towards like hyper specificity of the goal, whether it's an athletic performance outcome or a bodybuilding specific one, both of those things require kind of, you know, repeated efforts at high, with high levels of fatigue at some point. Those people with those bad foundations or poor foundations will just break sooner.
Yeah.
Or break in general.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. So setting, that's why that foundation is so important, to actually lay that first. And then we go, okay, what is, once we've reached that, what's the primary goal?
Yeah.
Is it hypertrophy? Leaning towards more volume, probably more density inside a workout, probably lower intensities on average, built on average over a 6-month program, let's say. not in isolation in each block or whatever. If you go to strength, then we're probably going the other way.
Yeah.
Slightly more intensity, slightly lower volume, probably more compound lifts.
Yeah.
We're going in a slightly different direction.
Yeah.
As much as there's people will kind of press into there's no such thing as a fat loss program, there is, in my opinion. Like, you can affect output through training, whether it's a little bit or a lot.
Yep.
If someone has a lot of weight to lose and they don't really care, they just want to lose weight, there's probably ways you can train to maximize that.
Mm.
Versus, that's going to be more effective, say, than a strength or a physique program.
Yep.
It's going to be written a little bit differently.
Yep.
And then athletic performance, you can then start to look at, there might be benefit from a slam or a throw or a jump or a whatever. Whereas previously it's like, I don't know if you've ever programmed ball slams for people and you see them do them and you're like, that's a drop.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause there's no,
that's, yeah. You're not training power right now. You're doing some fitness work. Are you
standing over it and pushing it to the floor? yeah. Just letting gravity take care of things.
If you don't have that fundamental base of strength, coordination, etc., then it's like, that's a waste of time. It's a conditioning exercise. It's not a power production exercise.
Yeah.
So you're not going in training, can't say sport specific, you're not going in training a quality of an athletic quality.
Mm.
You're training conditioning because they're not actually able
it's
to produce
movement.
What they need to get the benefit out of that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's movement under fatigue.
Exactly. Yeah, which is fine.
Yeah, it still has a benefit somewhere for someone.
I just did a WOD myself last week and my slams were very questionable.
Was it one of those hero ones?
I wasn't achieving much adaptation to my power in that fucking 12 minutes. Yeah. Just don't die. So then once you're in that second tier, so we usually, there's four categories that we tend to work with. So it's, you move into strength, you move into physique, you move into fat loss, or you move into athletic performance.
Mm.
Inside those realms, like you said before, when you reach a plateau, you may then go, what other quality do I need to train?
Yeah.
To be able to move forwards with this goal again.
Yeah.
So say you might go from a strength program and it's like, I'm not getting any stronger. The only way really to get stronger is to take some time to get bigger.
Yeah.
So I'm going to focus on a more physique style program.
Yep.
And just build a fuckload of muscle. Maybe there's a little bit in there to maintain the skill. Same goes for physique.
I would argue they don't lose it.
Usually.
Most people.
Yeah, the way we program.
Trained individuals don't lose it.
Yeah. So then we've got a physique client who's like you said, all the volume but not making any progress anymore. Mm. Let's go get you stronger.
Yeah.
Use those strength fundamentals.
Yep.
Same for an athlete. You're either not strong enough, or you're too strong, you're not fit enough, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What's the next step? And then we just basically cycle through whatever
absolutely.
They need.
Yeah, when we refer to strength too, it's not SBD.
Correct.
It's strength.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's pretty clear to... So if you're like someone who's like, fuck, how do I know if my client's strong enough and we don't deadlift because they're a physique client?
Yeah.
It's like, you can ascertain whether they have a good foundation of strength. Like,
yeah, use the same numbers and maybe times it by 0.8. For RDLs.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. Yeah, I'd probably go 0.8 for an RDL.
Yeah.
So you're pretty good. You're close, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's like someone's real close, like you can ascertain if they're... And even like pull-ups and shit. It's like if you do a pull-up or like even 75% of your body weight for pull-ups, like you're strong.
You're pretty good, yeah.
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 You're in a good starting position anyway.
Yeah. Quick episode break. You guys know, if you've seen anything that I create on my stories, my design skills suck. My socials still look good because we went and got help. Now you can too. SCC's new web service can take your business branding and design to the next level. Ash and the team didn't just create templates for us. They dove into who we were, what we cared about, and what our message is, and helped us to design an overall brand that represents what we care about. We use their social pack every single day. They built our website, and they even helped us build out our app. All those services are now available to you. You just have to go to stcfit.com, navigate to web services, find out what it's all about, and book a free discovery call to see what is right for you. Our recovery score.
Hmm.
What is it? Why do we use it? What's in it?
So our recovery score is a bunch of metrics that are both physical characteristics and lifestyle characteristics that cover you know, a whole individual. So we have the physical ones, which are like, you know, biological sex, strength, you know, body size, body body weight, how tall they are. What else is there? A few other things.
That's most of them.
Yeah, training experience. Yeah, training experience, biological age.
Yeah.
So it's ascertaining like the physical characteristics of this individual and their potential capacity to lift load. You know, so tall people, heavy people, they're going to be strong, and strong, how strong they are, those, that person is going to recover differently to someone who's shorter, lighter in body weight, and, you know, either not as strong or even strong. Yeah. So we work out a score based on those things that is also influenced by their lifestyle.
Yeah.
So their lifestyle is like more of the controllable stuff. Like, not saying the physical characteristics ones aren't controllable, but they're more immediately controllable.
Yeah.
So it's like your overall stress load, your diet, your sleep, your supplement status, whether you're a natural athlete, you take PEDs, how, like, what the degree of that is that you take. So do you take like the not so strong ones or the really good ones? And all of those things are going to influence, you know, again, on top of the person's physical characteristics, how they perform, how strong they are, and how much they could potentially, you know, withstand in terms of training volume.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then after that, it gives us a score, and we use that score to assess how hard we push a person.
Yeah. Yeah. So I got a lot of this off Chad Wesley-Smith from Juggernaut.
Yep.
Back in the day, a lot of the foundation of this formula that we use was from them, and they apply it to their programming model the same way, similar way to we do. So basically, it creates a multiplier for you to assign volume.
Yeah.
For the gym floor personal trainer, in particular, I think it's a really useful tool to understand how to put together a program for different people.
Mm.
I think one of the hilarious things is when I started using the recovery score, my clientele within fucking 0.5 all the time.
Yeah.
Because it was like 25 to 35 year old female who's 60 to 75 kilos, who's trained for 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, he's not strong.
Who's mid level strength, not elite. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? It's just like, cool. So, okay, you're at the same volume as her. You're at the same volume as her. At least as a starting point. It's all starting point numbers, guys. So it's hilarious that like when I had this tool, I didn't need it anymore.
Yeah,
but I'm guilty of giving everyone, like, oh, this program worked really well, I'm going to give it to all my clients.
Mm.
And it's like, I've got a 6'3" footballer and a 5'2" mum.
Yeah.
Like, the volume's not going to be the same as to what they absolutely can do here. Not. So I think it's a really useful tool for if you have a broad range of clientele.
Yeah.
I
think the easiest way to describe it is like, think of a way that we assign maintenance calories to somebody, which is like BMR plus TDE.
Yeah.
So just think like BMR is like maybe the basal amount of volume like for per movement pattern that we have in the calculator. And then the TDE is like the recovery score, which is like the physical characteristics of the person and the lifestyle characteristics. Yeah. And then it's like, even then you guys...
And that's predicted. And then we make...
You guys know that that's... Decisions. Yeah, correct. So yeah, that's the best analogy, I think.
Yeah, that'll be in the workshop.
Absolutely.
It's really good.
You get to present it first too, you bastard.
And or like the strength one's more quantifiable too. And people lose, because we do, we're like, here's your baseline sets, it's 55 sets a week, and then you multiply it, and then you add your different...
I think because yours splits it up, like, because you have so many different types of programs and the distribution of each movement type changes within that, it's a little more complicated than I just go, this is how many sets you could do per muscle group.
Yeah.
And this is how many sets you could do if you're a beginner or an intermediate or advanced. Yeah.
Because yours sort of overlaps with the strength hypertrophy program, basically. Yeah. It's hilarious how close our numbers come out when we do that.
Yeah, yeah.
So we came at this from a totally different angle.
Yeah.
I write a strength hypertrophy program that then goes into hybrid, into strength, into peak.
Yeah.
And Jace just wrote the hypertrophy one. And then we're like, hey, this my strength hypertrophy is your lower end of volume for your physique, guys. Like, fucking funny that.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah.
So repeatable.
So how do you determine starting volume for your clients?
Yeah, so I'll use the recovery score and then I will make a decision based on that. So I've got volume ranges that work best for beginner, intermediate, and advanced lifters. Mm-hmm. And then the recovery score will influence the range within each one.
Yep.
So they're never a fixed number. Like a beginner is like between 40 and 60 sets generally.
Yeah.
An intermediate is between 75 and 110.
Mm-hmm.
The variance gets greater as the person gets more trained. And then an advanced athlete's like between 60 and 120.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, fuck. Like, because it's about the style of program.
What the program looks like.
Correct. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. So, so then I will decide. The recovery score allows me to decide where in that range we land.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say it's between 75 and 120, 110 for an intermediate. So 75 would be the lowest end. So that's like, you know, there's 13 muscle groups mainly. The lowest amount of volume to grow a muscle might be like 6. So 6 times 13, I think, is like 78, 76 or something like that.
Yeah.
So I would go 76. So it's like baseline volume based on the research that we can use to hypertrophy a muscle. This person has the capacity to recover because they're trained, they're committed with their diet, et cetera, et cetera. So I just use that and then we will assess based on the feedback, performance, recoverability, you know, all of those things that happen in the check-in, whether we're hitting the mark or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, don't get me wrong, like people are going to sit here and go, that's fucking stupid. There's people, yeah, that's totally fine. There's people that sit on either side. Would so sometimes.
Like the, would you like the book of before and afters?
Would you like the before? No, absolutely. But also it's like, well, what do you do now?
Yeah, exactly.
You're just doing random. Like, guessing. That's the question. Guessing. In the question in the workshop is always, before we start this, I know it's not going to be perfect, but it's like, what are you doing right now?
Yeah.
Everyone just goes, oh, fuck, I'm literally just riding 4 sets of 6 to 8.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, for everything. So, yeah, I think it's a better way of, like, just being able to rationalize things.
Yeah, I remember sitting down to, like, the first time I thought about I want to make a programming model.
Yeah.
Was just so I can quantify something. Just want to. I want to have some information at the end of the block I can look at and go, we did this, this happened, this is what we change.
Yeah.
And have the starting point that I'm 99% confident is going to work.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like you said, it's the nutrition thing, right? It's the setting the target.
How do we know if it works? We need to have numbers that we come at from with a little bit of logic. This just allows you to do that. So, that's where we use that. And then, like, after that, It does, the personality of the lifter does influence a lot of my decisions.
Yeah.
Especially if they're strong.
Yeah. I'd tell you to get fucked at 110.
Well, and it, like I would never, but like, but I can see it now. I can see my lifters who don't have that ridiculous strength.
Yeah.
They need the extra volume.
Yeah.
It's no different to,
so training intensity too, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know the volume study that just came out? Was it like the 50 sets or whatever and it grew the quads or whatever? Mm-hmm. So the take home that I understood from that was that the people that needed it, did it.
Mm.
So the people that needed that much sets, they were going to get a response from that because they needed it.
Yep.
You and I don't need that much.
Yep.
And we're never going to do that much.
Yep.
You know, fucking break. So you're hanging your head on the fact that you have a greater amount of force production for lesser reps.
Yeah.
So your efficiency to stimulate your muscles mm-hmm. is really high.
Yeah.
So that means you can walk into the gym and from, I don't know, if you're doing sixes, maybe the first rep.
Yeah.
It's pretty anabolic every rep that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Where someone else, it's going to take them 2-3 sets to find the weight.
Yeah.
To then do 2-3 sets more.
Of work.
To have a situation of like slow contractile velocity, maximum muscle activation, et cetera, et cetera. Like all of these stimulating reps that, you know, have a positive benefit to growing muscle tissue.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the same when you think about it. When we do the recovery score, we go, right, how long have you trained for? How good are you in the gym? And how strong are you?
Yeah.
Because if those things don't line up, then you aren't proficient. You aren't strong.
More work.
You need more. To get the same out of it that we would.
Yeah.
So your workout's going to go maybe not as long. You're just going to have shorter rest periods and lift lighter loads and all those things. So when someone gets stronger, you got to lean into their preferences.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got lifters where they're like, Jace, heavy movements, I just want like 2 or 3. And then I've got other clients where they're like, heavy movements, I want like 5 of them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, cool. So then you're just playing around with what, it's kind of like you're playing around with their meals.
Yeah.
It's just, you know what I mean? Like, you're playing around with, like, their sets and their volume in the session.
Yeah. I think an interesting caveat to introduce, and we do actually use, like, percentage of body weight to determine their strength because it's really the only way. But I think there's a variance based on the individual's capacity for strength.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like, it's not necessarily what you lift. It's how close you are to what you could lift.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I understand.
So, Anthony Krusner's ability to squat, for example, can squat 400 kilos.
Yeah.
Someone else who can only squat 200 kilos, but that's probably their best squat of their whole life.
Yeah.
Even if they train forever.
Mm.
It's the same level of kind of fatigue.
Absolutely.
I've seen that in a lot of athletes, and Jess is actually a really good example of it, where you sort of like, you shouldn't be able to do this.
Yeah.
Because you're lifting so heavy, let's say.
Yeah.
Not you're so strong, you're lifting so much weight.
Yeah.
But she actually has so much available to her with her, call it genetics, her capacity to be stronger is there.
Yeah.
So it's like, I couldn't give someone else what looks like this level of intensity that I do to Jess, but it's actually, we've still got so much room for her.
Yeah, yeah. And that's knowing your athlete.
Yeah.
And that's going to take time. That's no different to knowing what their, someone's maintenance deficit of surplus calories are.
Yeah.
At the time, you know.
Yeah.
It's absolutely.
So, yeah.
Because, you know, you could look at someone else who has a very similar characteristics and lifestyle to Jess, for example, and then go, cool, so this is going to line up perfectly.
Yeah.
And it does not. Yeah. And then that is called differentiation.
Yeah.
You know, it's you got to take in the genetics component heavily.
Mm.
And that's usually what the differentiator is.
Yeah.
Because I would argue how you feel and what your preferences are is a semi expression of your genetics too.
Yeah.
So your ability and desire to want to do heavier loads over higher rep work, like maybe you just respond better to that.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe you're going to get better gains doing that.
Yeah. Or,
and then some people are going to argue, well, if you never did the high rep work, why didn't, maybe you should so that you benefit that. But it's like, well, what if the person doesn't like it?
Yeah. Remember, we used to have a Commonwealth Games sprinter.
Yeah, Aaron.
Yeah. At,
yeah, it's crazy. Point
Cook, and we've hounded him for years.
Yeah.
Because you just do triples all the time.
Yeah.
And we're like, come do a physique program. We'll get so massive. And he was huge, man.
Yeah, his legs were so big.
Huge. And we're like, come do a physique program. We'll get you massive. And he did one block and got fat.
Yeah, I think over 10s.
Decreased performance.
The strength drop off after 10 reps was ridiculous.
Yeah.
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 Because he would only do linear periodization model.
Yeah.
So it was like, he would start at 10s.
Mm-hmm.
Then he would only do that for 2 weeks,
yep.
Then the eights, then the sixes, and then he would spend most of his time doing what, fives and threes.
Yeah.
And then he'd do ones to peak.
Yeah.
And he was huge.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a prime example of like kind of leaning into maybe what's better for you.
For you, yeah.
So yeah, I think there's a bit of merit to that.
So starting point volume for strength programming, we basically have four program types. So we have hypertrophy focused. We call it strength hypertrophy because it's still movement centric programming.
Yep.
We're still, how do we make you better at movement rather than how do we load a tissue the most?
Yeah.
So there's elements of tension that are still involved because we do want hypertrophy. We do want the muscle to grow, but we're layering that on top with a movement pattern on top of a skill, on top of a whatever. So hypertrophy has the highest. I think it's like a starting volume of like 55. So if you're talking about ranges, you probably, it wouldn't even be 55. It'd still be like 65 to up to 100, 110, depending on the recovery score of the individual.
Yep.
And then I think you drop about 15% each.
Yep.
Each program you drop down. I think it's the baseline is like 10 sets each time, which is about 20%, but it plays out a bit different. So top end sets would be about 15% reduction as you get more specific.
Yeah.
Until you get down to a peak where you're doing 20 working sets a week. Inside that, so from 55 to how the fuck do you get to 110? So we take the recovery score, we multiply that out by the lifts. So there's four of those. You guys probably wouldn't land this on a podcast without seeing it.
Yeah.
But basically, we apply the recovery score to different lifts. That adds a multiplier. So that could add up to 12 sets there.
Yeah.
Then each exercise type. So we have prime, which is the big lift. Mm. Accessory, which is a modification of the big lift. Compound, which is what it sounds like, that doesn't include those two. Mm. And then you have isolation, which is like just
multi. We should probably change that to multi-joint.
Yeah. And then single joint exercise.
Yeah.
So a single joint exercise has a multiplier, I think it was 0.65. So it's way less fatiguing than a prime, which is a one.
Mm.
So as you extrapolate that out over the program, you end up with way more sets than that kind of TDE that you mentioned.
Yeah, yeah. So what would an example of that be, just so people aren't sitting there going like, what the fuck? So you'd have like a squat?
Yeah, so in your program, you might have...
So your prime's a squat.
Yeah.
Your accessories are front squat?
Yeah, safety bar.
Yeah.
Sometimes you'll even go high bar to low bar.
Your compound multi-jointed, maybe some form of like bilateral movement.
Split squat.
Yep, cool. I'd love to see we're on the same page there.
Yeah.
And then your isolation might be...
Leg extension.
Leg extension, sissy squat, yeah. Whatever, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, just because that paints that picture really clearly now for the people at home.
And then sometimes that's over two sessions, sometimes
it's not in a session. It's not in a single workout at all times.
So. Yeah, so... That's how you build that out. Then you do that for all four movement patterns. So push, pull, squat, hinge. And then that ends up being your program.
Yeah.
So that's where the starting points are.
Such an easily repeatable system.
Yeah.
Which you don't get when you first start.
No.
And you don't get when you're 3 years in.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't get it unless you come to the program.
Yeah, ever, to be honest. I haven't seen anything else like it.
I agree.
How do you select your volume per muscle group?
Based on the desirability of the person to build a physique in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or if I just need to make that physique look a certain way.
Yeah.
Because people sit there and go, you need to be symmetrical and balanced and whatever. Like, look at most of the people getting around the gym, especially the women. Like, they're so bottom heavy now.
Yeah.
So if you sat there and took the idea that everyone needed to be symmetrical, like, you're literally taking away... 50% of the population because they don't want to be symmetrical.
Yeah,
they want to be really bottom heavy. So yeah, like that in that instance, that's just an example where you're like, cool, what's the desired look? You know, where are you at now? Mm-hmm. Sweet. So majority of the volume is going through your legs.
Yeah.
And then you just have to work out like how much do you put to the glutes, the hamstrings, the quads, or you know, based on the look, based on the lifter.
Yeah.
You know?
And then you have those like effective trainable ranges, right?
As in for volume?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I really, at the moment, I'm just working off what's available in the research across the board.
Yeah.
So I totally understand that there's high volume studies that suggest that the volume is superior there. You've got low volume studies that suggest, you know, you can still be effective growing muscle. I think as it stands, if you draw a line across everything, it's roughly about 6 to 12 sets, maybe. So per muscle group, so I'm just working in that 6 to 12 and then I'm just monitoring the progress and going, cool, are we not seeing the growth that we want? Are things being executed the way that they need to be? Are we doing everything outside the gym? Yes, let's try a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, and I literally have a, what's the thing where you go from one step to the other? Is it what's called a certain name? Anyway.
Flow chart.
I literally have a flow chart of decision making for you guys to either add volume or decrease it.
Yeah.
So it's like, is this person making progress? Yes, go this way. No, go this way. Literally tells you what to do.
Yeah.
Ask this next question. Make this next change. Make this increase volume, decrease volume.
Yeah.
So you literally have the ability to go, well, even at 6 to 10 or 6 to 12, whatever I said, things aren't working.
Yeah.
This person might need more or less.
Agreed. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because if you're like, just fucking, like everyone's going to sit there and go and just throw more.
Mm.
Think about someone like hammering a nail into a log.
Yeah.
Like how's that person throwing that hammer? You know, and what are they hitting? Are they hitting the side more than the nail?
Yeah.
Like how many times are they hitting that nail on the head and smashing that thing perfectly, you know, stroke after stroke?
Yeah.
So adding more doesn't always fix it.
Yeah.
So that's where you've got to make the decision of like, okay, I need to see everything. And like, you know, how forceful is that person hitting that nail? How repeated are they? You know, what respiratory is like? How are they feeling themselves? Like, the parallels are the same in training. So you've got to, at least now you have like a really good quantifiable starting point.
Yep.
You know, and I would argue like as a beginner lifter or even as like a person you've never worked with, start with the lowest amount.
Yeah, agreed.
Because you can always add more.
Yep.
Because people psychologically want more. They never want things to be taken away.
Yeah.
Obviously, like as an athlete, you've got to learn to have less. Mm-hmm. And that is something that you need to be coachable with.
Yeah.
And then as a coach, you need to learn how to communicate that as well. However, put yourself in the best position, especially if you're an intermediate coach or a beginner, mm-hmm. and set that relationship up for success by saying, sweet, we can actually add more now.
Yeah.
So, yep. Yeah, that's kind of where I sit with that.
So we calculate our total volume. Then we know the 6 to 12 rep range is going to be appropriate per muscle group. Then we go what we've done the assessment of the athlete.
Set range, 6 to 12 sets. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
No, all good.
Then we can go, cool. So we know based on the person that's in front of us, they want bigger glutes. So we push more towards 12. They want smaller quads. We push more towards 6.
Correct.
And we have this total volume number that we know is going to be recoverable for them.
So that's those amount of sets are taking off the total amount that you've allocated for someone.
Yeah.
And then you're deciding in the upper body which ones get a maintenance dose to stay the same or grow at a minimum effective rate.
Yeah.
And then which ones in the upper body, if you decide to, are you going to give a dose that maybe pushes the growth a bit further?
Yeah.
I would argue that if the lower body is being exponentially trained at a higher volume, that you would leave the lower body at a lesser training volume overall,
yeah,
and then you would switch it,
yeah,
just to give your body the ability to show up for its legs,
yeah,
you know, to train and recover and whatever,
yeah.
So yeah, because you're still going to have an interference effect. Like people think, you know, when you go into the gym and you train back and then you train chest, like there's no interference in that. There's a huge interference in that from your central nervous system.
Yeah.
So your ability for your central nervous system to, you know, fire and activate your muscle fibers, you know, from a motor unit perspective, has been impeded when you're overtrained, mm-hmm. or under recovered, or even just trained from day to day. So you kind of get to decide there what distribution of volume you get from top to bottom, and then sometimes you can just go even across the board.
Yeah,
you know, it doesn't have to be a bias to something all the time.
Yeah.
So I've got clients where I'm just like, you just need muscle everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So just do balanced. Yeah, we'll just do a six to ten sets.
Yeah.
6 to 10 sets across you know, most of the muscle groups, and we'll just fucking fuck around and figure out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how it works.